From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll continue this series of studies of the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes, but first we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled He Remembers No More. The text is Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When we know the Lord, we receive the forgiveness of sins. We know Him as the God of grace, passing by our transgressions. What a joyful discovery is this! But how divinely is this promise worded? The Lord promises no more to remember our sins. Can God forget? He says He will, and He means what He says. He will regard us as though we had never sinned. The great atonement so effectually removed all sin that it is to the mind of God no more in existence. The believer is now in Christ Jesus as accepted as Adam in his innocence. Yea, more so. For He wears a divine righteousness, and that of Adam was but human. The great Lord will not remember our sins so as to punish them, or so as to love us one atom the less because of them. As a debt when paid ceases to be a debt, even so doth the Lord make a complete obliteration of the iniquity of His people. When we are mourning over our transgressions and shortcomings, and this is our duty as long as we live, let us at the same time rejoice that they will never be mentioned against us. This makes us hate sin. God's free pardon makes us anxious never again to grieve Him by disobedience.
Lord,
In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, "Preparing to Meet God." Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, "Preparing to Meet God." In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of "Preparing to Meet God," and we'll be happy to provide it. On this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message entitled, "The Joy of the Holy Ghost," part of this series on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns has shown that this joy is not produced by mere orthodoxy. Rather, it is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in the heart, beginning at regeneration. Then the joy of the Spirit consists of the witness of the Spirit to Christ and all that believers have in Him. The sphere of our joy is walking in the Spirit, or living according to God's commands. Furthermore, we've seen that the Christian's joy is sustained by the Word of the Spirit. That is, a heart that is captivated by the Holy Scriptures is a heart that knows true joy. In the concluding part of this message, Dr. Cairns addresses the warranty of the Spirit as the strength of our joy, emphasizing that the joy of the Spirit depends not on our circumstances, but upon the hope we have in Christ. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, "The Joy of the Spirit."
Your enjoyment of your salvation depends upon hearing what the Spirit says. I believe that's why Jeremiah, in chapter 15 of his prophecy, and in verse 16, could say, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by the name," or "by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." You know, when you can say that, God the Holy Spirit, by His Word, will sustain your joy. "Thy words were found." In other words, there was diligent search. "Lord, I give..." became not just my duty, but it became my joy. It became not just my religious reading day by day, but it became the rejoicing of my heart. When the Word of God becomes your joy and rejoicing, then you'll be able to rejoice in this. I am called by thy name. I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. The Word of God sustains my joy and salvation. This is vital for every believer. Then the last thing I want to say on the joy of the Spirit is that the warranty of the Spirit is the strength of our joy. I've spoken of this Bible as the Word of the Spirit, but let's just narrow that down a little. You look at the promises of Scripture, the statements of Scripture. How do you know they're true? Because God the Holy Spirit guarantees their truth. Oh, I know that the Lord Jesus guarantees their truth. I know that God the Father guarantees their truth. Not for a moment would I undervalue the weight and importance of that witness. But as the Westminster Confession of Faith very rightly teaches on this matter, that while we may be persuaded by many things of the truth of Scripture, ultimately we depend on the Holy Spirit applying it to our hearts. And only as the Holy Spirit brings the warrant, the guarantee, the assurance to our souls, do we enjoy it. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly." You can go right through that book. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Here we are not dealing with dim philosophies. We are not dealing with religious notions. We are not dealing with man's best efforts at defining truth. We are here in this book dealing with divine certainties. And this gives strength to our joy. Because you see, the joy of the Holy Ghost is not something transient, dependent on circumstances. If you look at your Bibles carefully, and this would be a study in itself, so I'm really not going to get into it, but if you look at your Bibles carefully, you'll find that the joy of the Spirit rejoices in an assured hope just as much as it rejoices in present possessions. A human joy can only rejoice in what it now sees, but the joy of the Spirit just as much rejoices in the hope. Romans 12:12 uses those words, rejoicing in hope. Romans 5:2 speaks again of us rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Hebrews 3:6 is the very same idea. This is spiritual joy. The joy of the Spirit, unlike natural joy, rejoices in adversity just as much as in prosperity. It's not to say that we suddenly don't want to be happy and prosperous in a physical sense, no. But it is saying that whatever the physical circumstances, there is a spiritual reality of our relationship with God that never changes. David says, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." He says, "He'll bring me into his pavilion, and in his tabernacle he will hide me." This is why he could say, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life." You see, we can rejoice and glory even in tribulation. But just a little word, for some people can actually get a message on the joy of the Lord and it will make them miserable. So just a word of caution. But notwithstanding this strength, this joy that will sustain itself through adversity, our feelings of the joy of the Lord fluctuate greatly.
And that's in keeping with Scripture. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in John 16:22? Now therefore ye have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. In many ways, you know, that sums up so much of the Christian individual experience. Now you have sorrow, but I'm going to give you joy. It does fluctuate. The Thomas Manton once said that if we lose it ourselves, it's not utterly lost. You think of the sun in the sky. You know, the sun is always shining. It's easier for me to say that in America than it is to say in Northern Ireland. Sometimes over there, I have to be honest, I wondered if it was still shining or not. From maybe November through to February, if you caught a blink of it, you were doing very well. With overcast grey skies and very threatening looking clouds and all the rest of it. But we're told the sun always shines. But you can't always see it. Many a time there are clouds that come in between. Your life still depends on it. If it stops shining, just for a moment, we'd all be wiped out. But you can't always see it. There are times not only when it's obscured by clouds, but there are times when you are enveloped in the darkness of night. But the sun is still shining. There are times when Christians have great joy and the sun is in its meridian and you're looking at Christ in all his resplendent beauty. Faith is quickened and there's not a cloud between, and your heart in the place of prayer, in the place of study, your heart is just lifted up to the Lord in sweet communion with him. It's a wonderful experience. There is no joy like the joy of meeting Jesus. There is no joy like the joy of the heart responding to the Christ of God applied by the Spirit. Then there are times when the clouds of adversity come. You can't see the sun. You feel the chill. You should always remember text of Scripture that fascinates me. The clouds are the dust of his feet. It only says that God is moving for you. And you're going to see the result of that move. There will be times of the night, maybe deep affliction, deep heartbreak, bereavement. But in the night time, God gives songs because the sun is still shining. You see, if we lose the joy or the feeling of joy, yet the thing itself, Christ our joy, is never really lost. Indeed, one old medieval theologian, medieval mystic by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux, we sing one of his songs fairly frequently here in the church on the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. He argued that the dark experiences and the dark days actually increase our joy when we enter into it and will actually make heaven all the sweeter. He said that security is pleasing to the saints, and the word he used may possibly have meant the angels even, but it pleases him more greatly who feared. He says, light is joyful to all, but to have been delivered from the power of darkness is more joyful. To have crossed from death to life doubles our joy. Thank God for every shadow. There must be sunlight.
For every trial, there is grace. God, as one old preacher put it, permits sorrow that we might find the fuller comfort. God permits sorrow that we might find the fuller comfort. Fact of the matter is that the strength of our joy is not in our feelings. It's not in our circumstances. The fact of the matter is that the strength of our joy is not even in our feeling of the joy itself. Not even our appreciation of the joy itself. But it is in the guarantee, the warranty of the Holy Ghost regarding what He has done in us. He warrants, I have made you live, and live you will. You'll never die. I have sanctified you. I have justified you in union with Christ. I point you to Jesus. I bid you look at Him who is your forerunner, who has entered into glory. That glory most certainly awaits you. That's the strength of our joy. We're dealing with eternal verities. We're dealing with absolute certainty. Back in 1976, we had a great gospel campaign in our church in Ballymoney. A little breath of revival. Ken Elliott was the evangelist. We have often laughed about some of the singing in that campaign because we had a theme hymn that we sang every night for 3 or 4 weeks. You think you sing number 26 a lot on Sunday nights, but we sang 228 in our own hymn book every night of that campaign, and the singing seemed to get better as it went on. It was of the Lord to make that the theme hymn. It was rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, oh let His mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall, redeemed by His blood. Why should we ever fear? For Jesus is our all in all. If God be for us, who can be against us? The words of the third verse of that hymn come very much to the subject of enjoying the Lord. Confide in His word, His promises so sure. In Christ they are yea and amen. Though earth pass away, they ever shall endure. 'Tis written o'er and o'er again. If God be for us, who can be against us? Abide in the Lord. Secure in His control. 'Tis life everlasting begun. To pluck from His hand the weakest trembling soul, it never, never can be done. If God be for us, if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Against us. Thank God, this is our joy.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.